Hello and welcome to Gravitas Wins Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jude. While we are talking about entrepreneurship, most of the discussions are about success, growth, and all the glories associated with it. It is said that we learn the best from our success and from others' failures. So here I'm talking to my good friend Samson, who can be rightly called as a serial entrepreneur, to discuss what we should be careful about and what we should avoid in the path of entrepreneurship. I'm happy to discuss this on the 100th episode of the podcast. We are rightly discussing about failures and progress. Before we get into the interview, can I request you to subscribe to the podcast, write a review, and share the podcast with your fellow business leaders. Hello, Samson. Welcome to the conversation.
Hi, Joe. I'm great to be here. Thank you.
Sam, give me background about your ventures. I know you are a serial entrepreneur, so talk to me a little bit about your ventures.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. So I started my first entrepreneurship proper company probably when I was 21, I think. The first idea we had with a bunch of my friends was to start an energy drink company competing with Red Bull. And rightfully, we called our company White Horse. It was basically competing to Red Bull. And now when I turn back, it was a very audacious dream. And of course, at 21, with a bunch of your friends, we really didn't know much, but we had a passion and we had a vision. And that was my first startup. And since then, I've had a lot of startups after that. I started a company which was importing and exporting commodities across the world. I did a number of tech startups. And so there's been a variety of startups and I've had a lot of learnings along the way. But this idea of entrepreneurship, without even knowing the word entrepreneurship, it was in me. And I just realized it had been in me from a very young age. And today, when I look back, I just see, okay, I can see the dots and I can connect them all.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Can you talk to me about your current venture, the one that you are working on now and then doing?
Yeah, so currently I'm working on two ventures, actually three. One of the successful one is our tech company, Rua Tech Solutions. So we are a software development company. And this whole idea of this venture began because we were trying to solve a pain point between talent and delivery of two countries, India and Australia. So being born in India and then moved to Australia, I just connected both the cultures and I realized there was a pain point for a quality and a reliable tech company. So my brother and I, when we co-founded this, we realized how do we bridge the gap? How do we take projects from overseas and with the talent pool that we have in India, how do we bridge them? And that's what we've been doing for more than 7 years now. It's been very successful. There's been a lot of spin-offs from that IT companies, which maybe I'll talk about at a later stage. But yeah, Rua Tech has been one of the very successful ventures that embarked in my life.
Fantastic. So it has been in operation and successful for about 7 years now.
Yes, that's correct. So we've been doing well for over 7 years. We started off with a website and web applications. Then we added more future tech to our portfolio like Web3, blockchain. We have an exclusive virtual reality, extended reality team, an artificial intelligence team. So we take projects from various clients across the world and we deliver it to them. And that's been doing really well.
Okay. So you've done all of these kinds of stuff. So we are going to talk about the theme of this particular episode. What are some of the big lessons from your failed and the successful ventures that you have? And once you share it, probably we will go deeper into some of those lessons.
Yeah. So entrepreneurship, I see it as sort of waging war against an injustice or a vacuum that you see. So what do I mean by that? Every entrepreneur, we start off with an idea or a vision to do something because we see a gap. We see that something has not been done. Now, many times, passion overtakes wisdom and stability and all of that. So what happens is we, out of the passion, we run too fast, we run far ahead without realizing some of the pitfalls. So one of the biggest lessons I've learned, and this is my, if I have to go 15 years back and redo it all again, one thing I'll definitely do different is I will not quit my full-time job and then do a startup. And that is something that I encourage every young person to do today is don't quit your full-time job. Have your idea, refine it, be clear on what you want to do. And then when you get a little traction, then you quit your full-time job. Because most times what entrepreneurs we do is we think our idea is going to change the world. And we know idea is just part of the success. Execution is the whole another part of the success. So I would say pace yourself, do your startup on the side, and then slowly amp it up. So that's one thing I would try to do differently. And the other big thing that I've always learned is we have to be very clear on the problem we are trying to solve. Many times it's this sort of entrepreneur's disease where we try to solve everything. We want to change the world on day one. But it's all about being clear on what exactly we have to do. If there is 10 things we are trying to solve, it's good to take one thing and then solve that properly, and then we scale up from there. So that's something that I would definitely do things differently. The other things that I've learned, like things like don't confuse cash flow with receivables. So when you're making revenue, what happens is you have a lot of receivables, like, and then we think that is cash flow. And we all know cash flow is king. People say cash is king, but I would say in a startup, cash flow is king. You can have $50,000 on your receivables, but when you're doing payroll, if you don't have the money in your bank, you're going to be in trouble. So these are things that we don't initially learn as an entrepreneur, but it's good to have a mentor. Now that leads me to the fourth thing that I've learned along the way, have a mentor. Now, why do you think most successful CEOs, they have mentors? Why do you think business leaders go to conferences to educate themselves and learn themselves? They are already successful. The simple reason is there is always something to learn, and we need mentors so that we don't avoid, so we avoid all these pitfalls and we don't get ourselves into trouble. So having a mentor is something that I would like to encourage us to have early on. Then again, this is something you get talked about, you hear talked about in many places, which is it's all about people. And I would say 100% to that. It's about finding your tribe. So yes, it is all about people, but I would go one step further and say, find your tribe, find that core group who would stick around you, and they are not just there for the idea, but they are there for you. It's like they say there are two kinds of people. One, who are for what you are for. And then there is a second group of people who are for you. It doesn't matter what you do, but they are for you. Finding that tribe of people, that core group who are with you, that is a game changer, and it can actually make and break your startup as well. Yeah, and so these are some of the things, and maybe again, as we go, we can expound on things, but some of the little learnings I've had along the way.
Wonderful. So whenever I talk about from whom you can learn the best is a combination of a practitioner and a teacher. One is able to communicate really well, one is able to talk well, but it has to be from a practitioner. So some of the lessons that you talked about, especially the cash flow, the difference between the cash flow and the receivables, that will come from burning your fingers. At least the other ones.
Yes.
At least the other ones.
Absolutely.
Maybe you have heard somewhere else, but I wouldn't have expected it, this particular one, from anyone else. Somebody who has practiced it, somebody who is on the table looking for that, paying for their salary. Oh my God, what? Where is the cash in the bank?
Absolutely.
So now I know what the difference is.
Yes, because as an entrepreneur, you come with a package of personality trait. And some of them is you are driven, you are optimistic, you always see the glass half full. These are all the positive traits, and that's needed to keep you going. But sometimes you can be blindsided because, as I said, you think, oh, okay, I've got $100,000, that's it to be handed to us, it's coming, but it's not here right now, and it's 30th of the month, and you have to do your payroll. So those are little things, and I really wish I had a mentor. So my dad, he was a banker, and he started as a clerk out of sheer hard work and God's grace. He rose to be the chief general manager of a bank, and he did very well. But the thing is, he wasn't an entrepreneur. So I'm a first generational entrepreneur. And I really wish sometimes that I had a business coach. I had a life coach. My dad was my hero. But again, having a business mentor is completely different. So I would encourage, if you're listening to this podcast and you are in a startup or you're thinking of a startup, first thing, go find a mentor, because they have gone ahead of you. They can tell you where the pitfalls are, and you can probably save 5 years of your life just trying to going round and round the mountain.
Wonderful. So you touched upon a lot of lessons, and I'm going to, again, we can speak for hours, but this I'm going to short or limit it to about 30 minutes. So, Samson, you talked about, yes, entrepreneurs are driven, they are coming with passion, but passion and stability that you talked about, passion and execution that you talked about, can you go deeper into it? Yes, as you said, there are 10 ideas, and I, as a driven person, I'm driven to solve all of them. I'm going to change the world now, today. And I believe I have the capability to do it. How do I bring that down to the ground level and also execute? A lot of founders find that particular difficulty. And then you talked about it. So what has worked for you to kind of tamper that particular passion, enthusiasm with the capability to execute? How have you gone about doing that?
Yeah, so for me, I would first start by saying, rightfully, as you said, there are so many ideas in the world. There are so many opportunities in the world. And the world is huge, right? But you have to pick what matches your skill and passion. So the reason why I picked Rua Tech 7 years back was my co-founder, my twin brother, he is an IT enthusiast. So he's a tech person. So we knew that space, we knew it very well. It matched our skill and it matched my passion, where I like bringing solutions to people. I like solving complex problems. So we put two and two together and we said, okay, this is an area where we want to solve. So I would say find something to match your skill and passion is very important. In other words, what I'm saying is find it about yourself. What are your strengths and core areas? Number two, find that exact pain point that you're trying to solve. You have to be very clear with that. Otherwise, you can get sidetracked. Like, for example, as a startup entrepreneur, if you're driven by money, I would tell you that's a wrong thing to be driven by. Because you can, if you give the right solution, eventually you'll make a lot of money. Like somebody said, if you want to make $1 billion, go find out where the $1 billion problem is. So it's all about solving a problem. So if you solve the right problem, the money will automatically follow you. So the key thing is to be very clear with what problem you are trying to solve. For example, one of our latest venture is this women safety app called I'm Safe that we have embarked on. So in the last 2.5 years, we are going after this a single pain point where women feel unsafe, both outside their home and inside their home. There is physical assault and domestic violence. So that is a pain point we are trying to solve. So because we are clear on that, we knew when to say no and how to say no. Best example I'll give you, even till today, people come and ask me, why do you call it a women's safety app? Why not call it a safety app? Which means you can help women and you can help men. But because we are very clear on the problem we are trying to solve, it is easy for us to say a no. So I tell them, look, right now our focus is helping women. 5 years down the lane, we may make a safety app and help everybody. But right now, we are committed to the goal of helping women. So we know exactly what we are trying to solve, and that eliminates, that helps us make a decision to say no to other things. So now, coming to your question on how do you match the vision and the practicality, that's where the whole idea of team comes into play. Many entrepreneurs are lone wolves, right? And I would like to say you cannot go very far being a lone wolf. And the problem is also because this idea of a solopreneur or a single entrepreneur is sort of glorified too much, I feel, where because we have a lot of options to make money on your own, this whole aspect of advertisement and media gives you this false narrative that it is all about yourself. It starts with you, ends with you, and it's all about money. You can do whatever you want. But I would say respectfully, if you are trying to solve a real world problem, then you need a team with you. You cannot go alone. So find that team, find that tribe who believes in you, who believes in the vision, who's here to say, look, I'm committed to this goal as you are, and I'm committed to you because we are in this together. And I would say that gives that balance. And again, there is a lot more things we can talk, like being open to feedback. But these are some of the basic essentials I feel if we put in place, we can really make a big difference.
Okay. Samson, let's talk a little more about the problem. You already talked about some of the ventures that you did. They are very varied, from selling energy drink to commodity business, nowhere related to each other. And then now developing a mobile app for women's safety, and so on and so forth, bridging talent between Australia and India, nowhere connected. So how do you identify a problem that is also one worth solving, which fits into that skill and the passion that you talked about, but also that will make money? How do you identify that particular problem? Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's a very good question. If I'm going to be honest, I'm just going to tell it as how it has been for my life. I don't know if it is related to other people and how it can work. For me, fundamentally, I have a mantra where people before business. So in other words, what do I mean is every decision I make has a heavy influence on what kind of people are with me in the decision. So the different ventures I've done has always revolved around the core people whom I believe as part of the vision. So when I started with the energy drink, it was a team of my very own college mates as brothers. And we said, look, let's make this happen. As a team, we have the collective skills. Let's venture into it. When I went into the import-export entrepreneurship, it was again with another trusted friend with whom there's been a decade of relationship. And we said, let's do this together and explore this. Then when I went into business with my brother in terms of this IT venture, again, as a brother, and we said, look, we are in this together. Let's do it. Now, again, venturing into, be it IMSafe or another logistics fintech that we have started, Accelerate, it's again with a very core brother of us whom I've known for 15 years. We said, let's bring our skills together. Let's make it happen. So fundamentally, if you see the thread connecting all of that, it is all about people. And yes, it comes with its challenges because you are having a very big trust capital. You are deploying a trust capital. And if you don't discern right, you end up burning not only bridges, you end up hurting yourself. Yeah. Similarly, I had a very bad experience where I went into a business with one of different business partners. And I still remember clearly, when you form a company together, there is a general company law that you abide by with the partnership. But then also there is an exclusive shareholder agreement. So I still remember the lawyers at that time advised us to have a shareholders agreement because we were dealing with different countries and all of that. And at that point, I said, look, we will come back to that. It's okay. I know these people, whatever. And we just waited for 4 or 5 months before we did the shareholders agreement. And sadly, things went haywire. And that ended up a big messy thing. And it meant I had to have a big loss and get into... Thankfully, it didn't go very bad. But those were some of the learnings. So if you're listening here, what I would like to say is get some of the expert opinion on the legal structure and the legal framework that you need to have. Don't ignore the little things. As a visionary, we always think the big picture and think big, but we ignore the little things. So we have to think about that. Those are some things I learned. But yes, the positive is it's about people. They are our biggest strength.
Okay. So the way I'm looking at this, Samson, is that you talked about problem. Problem comes before passion. So then comes the passion. And then you're talking about practicality of that particular problem. And then you're going to execute along with the people. So that's the people that you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
So really good. Probably like 5 P's kind of that you are framing on this particular podcast. Okay. Have you exited any of these ventures? How are you thinking about it? Is there anything on the radar at all there?
So right now, Ruotech is our service arm, a service company, and I don't see an exit there. It will be there as long as we can do it, because we are helping a lot of people. We are helping a lot of NGOs. We are helping a lot of charity. Because again, it's not just doing software development between two countries, India and Australia, but also finding that need that in India, a lot of NGOs, they don't have a proper framework on the web. They're not tech savvy. So we are helping them. And I would like to continue that because we have a social heart. Then the two other ventures, which is both IamSafe, which is a women's safety app. It's a tech startup. Definitely, we are keen to raise capital and we are keen to expand this globally and expand into helping men, teens, kids, and also venture into the anti-trafficking space. So that will keep going. The exit part of it for IamSafe, I really don't see an exit there, purely because I see it as a life mission. If I had more time, I will talk about how sometimes what we do as entrepreneurs is connected to a childhood dream. And it's just a matter of time before you invariably land into it. For me, among all the startups I've done, IamSafe has been my childhood dream. And if I turn back 20 years back, I've been talking about ending human trafficking and exploitation of women and all of that. Now, suddenly it made sense. It almost like connecting the dots. Okay, now without diverting, coming to the point of the Accelerate FinTech, yes, that's a FinTech. And of course, we want to go raise capital, Series A, Series B, and all of that. And we are hoping for a very successful venture for that. So right now, I'm an entrepreneur in the making. I haven't sort of exited any companies, so to speak. I'm in the process. So maybe once when I exit companies, I can talk about that a bit more.
You will be coming back for the 200th episode and talk about one of the exits.
Absolutely.
Very nice, Samson. So one of the things that I want to touch upon before we close is that one thing that you talked about is, while you are on that journey of entrepreneurship, you land on your childhood dream. Probably that is what is driving you among all the other hurdles and challenges and anything else that are stones that are thrown at you.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little more about that app?
Yeah.
Why is that a childhood dream? And what are you doing with that app?
Yeah. So as I said at the start, as an entrepreneur, if you look deeper, you are actually waging a war against a pain point. Now, that is a general statement to say you're waging a war against a pain point to bring a solution. But if you go even further, it's actually you're waging a war against an injustice. For me, IamSafe was that. Deep inside me, there was a war that was screaming to bring justice to the innocent people who have no voice. When you look, I mean, as I said, right from my young age, growing up in a country like India, you see a lot of injustice. You see a lot of injustice done to women, to children, to young people. And then when you grow up, you feel weak. So you don't do anything about it. You just like bury it on the side and you think, okay, just move on in life. But one day, as I'm running a tech company, this was around 2020, we just realized we have this powerful tool called technology, and we run a tech company. We are gifted to run this tech company. And then on the other side, you see pain and chaos like all this Nirbhaya and during COVID, 90,000 kids asking for help and being abused in 11 days, and all of these stats come up. And suddenly, this aspect of waging war in against injustice sort of leaps up. And then you analyze your situation. You say, what do you have in your hand? Here you have a powerful tool called your technology. And there you have a solution. Now, how about bring a solution through technology? And that's how IamSafe was born. It's almost like this thing that was building up inside. And over time, now the moment you feel you have the tools to make a difference and wage this war and win it, you just want to embark on it. And that's how IamSafe was born. And it's not that we were the perfect candidates. I always tell people, like, if God was from above in the blue skies looking down, I definitely don't think RuaTech, Samson, and Giftson were the right and the first choice. Definitely there are more experienced people than us. There are more credible people than us. But we were the ones who put our hand up and said, here we are willing to wage war against this injustice. So that's the heartbeat of what we are doing and why we are doing. So as an entrepreneur, I would like to challenge you. Yes, today you are starting a product or a service and you're filling a vacuum and a pain point and giving a solution. But as you go in your journey, as you become successful, there is a heart's cry in you, inside every human being, to wage war against that injustice that's happening around you. For us, it was women's safety and anti-trafficking. But for somebody else, it could be just helping a person who is blind or bringing justice to a kid who don't have the enough education or the equality to study, to come up in life. We are all gifted with different things. So look into yourself and find what is that thing that is calling forth. And that's what happened with Mahatma Gandhi, or be it Nelson Mandela, or all these great leaders we talk about. They were bold, but they were also humble enough to see within themselves and find that strength in that and to keep moving forward. So, I mean, one of the favorite heroes for me is this person, William Wilberforce. And if you study his life and his history, there's this beautiful book called Amazing Grace by this author, Eric Metaxas. He's a well-known, famous author. And you read that book, you just feel like you are in 18th century, just living, like reading through the culture at that time, where it was a very bad culture. And in fact, one line that the author says about William Wilberforce is, he was so successful in eradicating slavery that we don't have slavery anymore, and therefore we don't even know who Wilberforce is anymore. He was very successful in doing that. And it was a lot of challenge, a lot of pain, and it was going against the culture of the day. But he was successful because he was, he again waged a war against the injustice. I mean, you could call himself an entrepreneur of a political sphere because he was going against the norm. And yeah, so coming to the crux of it is, that's where it stands, to look into us and go after what we feel is the right thing to do.
Okay, that's a right point to end, Samson. I can see the passion, the enthusiasm, the heart cry in the way that you are speaking. So I wish you all the best for not only the app that you're talking about, IamSafe app, but also the other ventures that you're going to do. And definitely, I'm 100% convinced you're going to come back on the podcast probably sometime later and share some of the other successes. Samson, I ask three rapid fire questions to all my guests. So here is the first one, Samson. What's the kindest thing anyone has done for you?
Well, the kindest thing anyone has done, I mean, there's a lot of things that you just put me on the spot. I would say there's a lot of things. One of them is every time when I feel low, as an entrepreneur, you have your highs and lows. And sometimes you think you're going to conquer the world. Sometimes you think that's the end of the world. But times when I felt absolutely low, and I come home, and I'm not someone who can hide my emotions, and my wife immediately picks it up. And then when I say I'm feeling low, and then she's encourages me by saying, show me one person who has made a difference in this world, who hasn't gone through a tough time. It's okay, you will come out of this. And just that encouraging word, I tell you, it just changes you, it just strengthens you. And I would say that's one of the kindest things. Yeah, that's just on top of my mind.
Fantastic. This podcast is about leadership. In that particular sense, can you please share what you think as the best leadership quality and who has manifested it in your life?
Excellent. So there is this book I read called Humilitas by John Dixon, and it has impacted my life like nothing else. And in that book, he talks about a specific character called humility. And he goes on to say that every leader you see on the world today who's made a difference has a certain traits. Like they're being bold, they go against the norm. It's a lot of things. When you're making change, you got to be wired a particular way. You got to be strong-faced and all of that. But he says something unique that he says, adding to all of that, every leader has this unique character called humility. And what does he mean by humility? He says that is being authentic. And being authentic is being humble. Being yourself, sometimes letting the guards down, accepting when you're afraid. And I think even Brené Brown talks about that in her books, Dare to Lead and all of that. So is this aspect of humility is a game. So I would say as a leader, this aspect of humility is very important. And one person, of course, I have seen consistent throughout, who's been an inspiration for me, as I said, is William Wilberforce. You have seen it. You can see it in every great leader, as I mentioned, Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, and also Jesus. There is this passage in Bible where it says where he washes the feet of his disciples. What more a clearer picture than you can get of a leader washing the feet of his own disciples? So I would say humility is a significant trait that we all as leaders need to have more of that.
Fine answer, Samson. Finally, what's your definition of living a good life?
I would say gratefulness is a definition of leading a good life, because we are talking a very, what's the word? We are talking a very comparative thing here. What is success for one person might not be success for another person. You go and ask a street in the kid who has no education, or he would say, if I can just finish year 12 or get into a college, it's success. And you look at the richest person today, Elon Musk, he might define it differently. But I think the world has its own mysteries. And one of the many mysteries is we don't understand how certain things happen and why some people are born poor and why some people are born talented. We don't know. But one thing we can all do, which is in our control, is we can be grateful for what we have. As I always say, there is someone who is always better than us. So stay humble. There is someone who is worse than us. So stay grateful. That's something like a mantra that I've always had. And when life is tough and when you're getting beaten up left, right and center, sometimes I just calm myself and realize, Samson, there are so many people who are doing it way more tough. Just be grateful. And yes, of course, in the pursuit of trying to compare with someone who's doing it bigger and better, let's not forget that there are some people who are doing it tough. So being grateful, I would say, is, or in other words, having peace. You can, it's just a play on words. Being grateful, having peace. I think that's where you can mention it.
That's gratefulness is the right place to end. I know you are in Australia. It's too late in the evening there. You've taken the time. And amidst all the things that you are doing, you have taken the time to share your insights. I'm very grateful to you, Samson, for doing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I'm really grateful to you for having me on your podcast. Loved it. I enjoy your podcast. It's really insightful and meaningful. And thank you for being an inspiration for young entrepreneurs like us, where we need all these inspiration and role models we can look up to. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Can I request you to share the few takeaways from our conversation? If you like the conversation, please share the podcast with others. Have a life of bits.